Good morning, church. Hey, it is really good to be with you this Lord's Day morning in a little bit of a different format, so I am excited about that, because we're talking about opportunities today, and we can look at things as problems, or we can look at them as opportunities, and so today is an opportunity to connect with you in a whole new way and to connect with our community in a whole new way, so I'm really excited about that. My name is Richard Hodges, and for those of you who have not met me yet, I am excited to meet you virtually online. And so if you want to drop something in the comments there, you're welcome to do that and just kind of introduce yourself. And that way I can get to know you guys when I look at the feed after all this is over. So again, this is my third week with you guys, but I know I probably haven't met all of you yet. But really, really excited to be with you today. Have you ever felt like you just missed a golden opportunity? You know, one of the things that I love to do is trout fish, but I had this idea, just this crazy idea a while back, that I wanted to get into fly fishing. And so I went out and, you know, I spent way too much money on all this tackle that I really didn't know how to use anyway, and I learned how to cast and to do all the things that fly fishermen do. And the first trip out, I was with a real experienced fly fisherman. And so we were in the creek, and I got my fly exactly where I wanted it to go, and I'm watching my strike indicator float down the water, and he says, "Oh, you just missed one." And it's like, "What? I didn't even know there was a fish there." And he said, "No, try it again." So I threw my strike, my fly out, my strike indicator's floating by, missed it again. Right? "Oh, you just missed this fish." And so I'm like, "Dude, there's not even a fish there." And he says, "Yeah, there is. I'll show you." Right? So he throws his fly over there, catches the fish, pulls it in, and makes me, he humbles me, to put it politely. You know, one of the things that really bothers me is missed opportunities, but it's not really just missing an opportunity to catch some trout or to fill up my stringer one day. It's really the opportunities that we miss when we fish for men. See, Jesus gave us this commission, right? He tells the disciples that he would make them fishers of men. And so you and I have that same vocation as well, that we've been called to be fishers of men. And I know that opportunities are all around us. And so, you know, as a preacher, it's easy to talk about, you know, Bible and theology, and it's easy to talk about things in that way, but sometimes it's really hard to just tell people about Jesus. But yet those are the opportunities that God wants us to seize. Those are the golden opportunities that God puts right in front of us day after day after day. But sometimes we're too busy focused on the problem, and because we're focused on the problem, we miss the opportunity. You know, when I got a call earlier this week from Ernie, and Ernie told me that, "Hey, we're going to have to modify things a little bit." And that sounds like a problem, right? And we could focus on that problem. But what if instead we looked at today as an opportunity, right? That there are people online in our communities everywhere who have the chance to hear a message that could turn their life upside down. So one of the things you could do to seize an opportunity today would be, since you're on your phone or your computer, just share this video and let everybody in your friend list see that, hey, Suburban Christian Church is still active, that we still want to reach people, that we're still looking for the mission of God to go forward. And today is not a problem, but today is an opportunity. You know, one of the things about me, I cringe to think of how many opportunities I miss on a yearly basis. I think about times when, you know, maybe my words could have brought comfort to somebody who's hurting, that, you know, maybe I could have given hope to somebody who's discouraged or somebody who's hungry, something to eat. And I know that I've missed more opportunities than I could probably count, and more that I would probably really want to count. But I wonder what would happen is if we as the church seized more opportunities. I wonder what would happen if we learned to respond to the world that God has put us in appropriate ways, rather than just railing against the world that we have currently around us. You know, the Bible is full of opportunities. The Bible is full of stories of men and women who seized opportunities and did big things for the kingdom of God. And so I want us to look at Acts chapter 8. And while you're turning there to Acts chapter 8, let me just kind of set the stage for what's happened to this point, up to this point, that, you know, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already resurrected. He has already appeared to the disciples and 500 believers, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. So, you know, Jesus has been active after his resurrection. And early on in the book of Acts, we see the ascension of Jesus, right? And so Jesus returns to the right hand of the Father, and he gives the promised Holy Spirit, and then everything in the first church just becomes Spirit-infused, right? And everybody's seizing opportunities, everybody's sharing the gospel, everybody's giving, they're generous, right? Everything is clicking along just the way that it's supposed to. And then, all of a sudden, persecution breaks out. And the persecution breaks out probably for a couple reasons. You know, we could say that, you know, people just didn't want to hear the message of Jesus, and that's one thing. But in all that the early church was doing accurate, the one thing that they didn't do very accurately was to take that mission outside of Jerusalem and spread, right? They were to be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's the part that they were lacking in, right? They had just focused right there in Jerusalem, and they had huddled up there for several years. And so it's almost as if God allows this persecution to break out so that they can take off and go fulfill the mission to be fishers of men and to make disciples of all nations. And so in Acts chapter 7, this persecution really breaks out. It's the beginning of the persecution. And so nobody's in Jerusalem anymore, or nobody's solely focused on Jerusalem. They're spread out. And in Acts chapter 8, one of the guys who gets spread out is Philip. And so Philip meets a guy called the Ethiopian eunuch here in Acts chapter 8. And they have this conversation that is crazy interesting. And so I want to work through that a little bit. We're going to be talking about verse 26 down through verse 39. I'm probably not going to be reading all of it, but you'll see the scripture on the screen. If you want to read along with all of that, you're welcome to. Or again, if you have your Bibles in your hand, you can follow along that way. Now let's look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now let me stop here for just a minute, because what we see here is this Ethiopian eunuch who is in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Candace, right? So he's a pretty big influence. And here he is coming back from Jerusalem, and he has gone there to worship, and here he is seated in his chariot reading this scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And we'll talk more about him in just a minute, but look at what the next verse says, verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." And so Philip ran over to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And then here's the passage that they read, right? You can read that quotation out of Isaiah, right? "A sheep led to the slaughter, and a lamb before his shearer is silent." And so the eunuch said to Philip, he said, "You know, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" So the prophet, so the eunuch is reading this, and he's not really sure if Isaiah is talking about himself or someone else, right? So he's kind of confused by scripture. I get that. I can read scripture sometimes and totally be lost in it. But thank God that Philip was here, right, by God's initiative. So Philip's here, and he's going to explain it. And so then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. right? Now, pay attention to something here. They're talking about Isaiah and something Isaiah said, and Philip uses that Old Testament passage as a bridge into what Jesus did, right? And so that's a real significant thing, and we'll circle back around in it, but I'm just kind of putting a few highlights out here because as we come back and work through the passage, some of these things we need to address a little bit more. And so as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, of all the passages in the whole Bible that talk about opportunities, this is a big one, and there are three in particular that I want you to pay attention to this morning. And here's the first one. Some opportunities, if missed, they're gone forever. You see, Philip and the eunuch came from different parts of the world. The eunuch came from a place in Africa, and so Philip is a hometown Jerusalem boy. And so they come from different places in the world, and this is likely the only time that their life is going to intersect. And so if Philip misses this opportunity, then it's a missed opportunity forever. The eunuch goes back to Ethiopia, where the gospel has not made it yet. He may not have ever heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But yet Philip seizes this one-time opportunity, and he speaks into the eunuch's life. I wonder how many times we have encountered someone, and it's a one-time opportunity. It's a one-time chance that we can speak life and truth to someone who desperately needs to hear it. Now, I know we can speak to people, but speaking life and truth is the difference, right? Look, I'm really good at small talk. I can talk to anybody about anything. I love the Chicago Cubs baseball team. I'd be glad to talk to anybody about how disappointing the season was for the Chicago Cubs this year, right? I can talk to people about the weather. I love to hike. I love to backpack. I'd be glad to share hiking tips and all of that kind of stuff. I can talk about anything to anybody, but I wonder how many one-time opportunities I've wasted with small talk rather than talking about the person who has changed my life. So you have a one-time chance to speak life and truth to somebody who needs to hear it. So we need to be forthcoming, we need to be bold, we need to be Spirit-empowered, rather than talking about the things of life that make little to no difference. Here's another opportunity that I think is important from the text, right? That God gives opportunities to those who are committed and prepared. You know, the eunuch goes to Jerusalem to worship, and so he's been around a lot of people, a lot of religious people, a lot of people who could say a lot of different things about the Torah and the Old Testament and all of those kinds of things, but God chose Philip. And so the eunuch, while he's in Jerusalem, right, he shows up to worship. He's been sent there by the queen of Candace. He purchases a scroll of Isaiah, which, by the way, in the ancient world was a lot of money, right? Because you're talking about a scroll that was meticulously written by hand on parchment. So it would have taken a long, long, long time for somebody to produce just one scroll of Isaiah. And so this guy is obviously connected, and he's connected to some resources as being over the treasury of the Queen of Candace. And so here he is. He purchases this scroll. He's trying to read it, and he doesn't understand it. And yet there's Philip, right? So Philip shows up, and Philip uses the passage of Isaiah to tell the Ethiopian about Jesus. Now here's my question. What if Philip didn't know or understand what Isaiah was talking about? I mean, what if the eunuch looks at Philip and he says, hey, who is this guy talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip goes, I don't know. Maybe we should call the preacher and find out, right? I don't know. Let's get a hold of somebody who knows more than I do. But no, Philip knows. He has a knowledge of Scripture. And I believe that's one reason that God used Philip and not someone else. And so let me say this, right? This is something that I have always firmly believed, that the single most important thing we can do to be used by God and to prepare ourselves to be used by God is study Scripture. To do it individually and to do it in community as well. There's an author who I love to read. He writes a lot of stuff on discipleship, and he says that you've got to know the Word of God. No, let me say that again. He says you've got to get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets in you. Right? And isn't that so true that we have to soak ourselves in Scripture individually and in community? That's why it matters, so we can prepare ourselves. And so let me encourage you this morning to renew your commitment to Scripture. And it's a difficult season to do that. I remember when all the lockdowns began in March and April and coronavirus, everybody was kind of freaked out about it. And I was working remotely from home at the time. We weren't even meeting in the church building any longer, and we were working from home. And I thought, man, I'm going to get a lot of reading done. I have a lot of time to pray, got a lot of time to just soak it all in. And there has never been a season in my life when I've done less praying and less reading and less studying. And so it was just so out of sorts and out of kilter. And I'm going to guess that that's probably true for a lot of us, that we've gotten out of habits that we normally had. And I want to encourage you this morning to jump back in to Scripture, because you need to be able to speak to fear in the world. You need to be able to speak to panic and chaos. You need to be able to speak to people putting their faith and trust and hope in Jesus rather than living like those who have no hope. So there's one last thing that I want to share with you before we talk about something else. But here's the last thing, that opportunities are often larger than they first appear. You know, Philip's chance to share the gospel with this eunuch seems like it's just to share the gospel with one guy. And that's obviously true, but a closer look reveals just a whole lot more that's happening underneath the surface, right? This guy works for the queen of Ethiopia. He is a man of influence. He's got a big job and he's got a lot of position. And so can you imagine what happens when this man of influence returns back home and he shows up and he says, hey, I bought a scroll of Isaiah the prophet. I didn't understand it. This guy named Philip came alongside of me. He taught me what it meant, and I found out about what happened with this guy named Jesus, and I was baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. So what do you think happens when he tells that message to other people? Right? Conversations happen, and out of conversations, conversions begin to happen. We know that one of the first places that the gospel goes is that it goes into northern Africa, which is exactly where people like the eunuch came from. And so we see just this big swelling of gospel activity in the first and second century in that area. And I wonder if guys like this are not partly responsible for it, because there's no telling how many people he witnessed to. There's no telling how many people he baptized into Christ. And so I wonder if our community, if your community could be changed just because you seized opportunities around you. That sharing the gospel with one person may seem like a small thing, but you never know the impact that it could potentially have. So here's the thing, right? We can talk about Scripture and the opportunities that we see here, and in particular, those three big ones. But why are opportunities so easy to miss? Like, why do I have a backlog of opportunities that, you know, where I said, man, I wish I could have done this. I wish I should have done that. You know, why is it that opportunities are so easy to miss. And I got a few reasons here. And the first one is this, that we have our own hearts and needs to contend with. You know, some people, and me included at times, we can only think about how bad we have it. Like, rarely does it occur to us that someone might have it as bad as we do, or even worse than we do. That's why when we're sitting around and we're having a conversation and somebody says, oh, I've been sick, and they tell a story about their sickness, and then all of a sudden we're going to share a story about how sick we are, and we were sicker than they were. And, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. We've got our own hearts and needs to contend with, and 100 people could pass us in a day who have their own needs to contend with, and we would never notice. I think another reason opportunities are easy to miss is because people are great actors. You know, I shared with you all last week that I lost my mom to cancer about 13 years ago. And one of the things that mom never did was, you know, she just never complained. And I remember showing up at the house, and, you know, I would go in and mom would be, you know, in her chair or on the couch or something like that. You know, she's hooked up to all these, you know, hoses and pipes and medicines and all these kinds of things. And I would look at her and say, Mom, how you feeling today? And her response was always, I'm fine. You know, I'm okay. How are you? You know, and one of the things that I've learned in ministry over the years is that people are great actors. Like, I couldn't tell you how many times I've gotten up to deliver a sermon and may, you know, have done my best and maybe even told a joke or two and laughed and smiled about some things. But inside, I'm going, man, as soon as I get done with this sermon, I'm going home. I'm writing my resignation. I'm out of there, right? You know, but we're good actors because nobody in the church would have known that, except maybe my wife, right? But, you know, for every person who wears his feelings on his sleeves, there's another person who keeps it all in, and we don't always see that. And so opportunities to serve and minister to people are sometimes easy to miss because people are great actors. Here's another one. I think opportunities are easy to miss just simply because the pace of our lives. Now, this hit me like a ton of bricks one day, and I want you to just think about this. I want you to think about walking through your neighborhood, and I know that suburban Christian church, you guys are kind of doing that with your prayer walks and those things now, and I commend that. I think it's really important to begin to know the story of your community and to know the people of your community. And so when you're walking through your neighborhood, you begin to see people, right? And you begin to see, you know, how they live, and you begin to see, you know, maybe toys in the yard, and you know, oh, that family's got some kids, or, you know, and you begin to piece the story of your neighborhood together the slower you walk and the more you walk. But what if you drove through your community at 30 miles an hour, or 25, right? Maybe that's the speed limit. We don't want you to get a ticket. You're probably going to see less, right? And maybe if you increase the speed to 45 or 55 or 70, you're going to see even less, right? Because you're just flying too quick to notice all the details. And maybe, you know, what if you imagine flying over top of your community at 600 miles an hour and 30,000 feet in the air? You're going to see and know very little of what's going on around you. And I think the same thing happens in our lives from day to day, that our pace gets faster, we begin to move faster, and we just notice less and less happening around us, right? We don't notice people who were there that now they aren't. We don't notice that, you know, somebody's hurting, that somebody needs ministered to, that somebody needs some time and attention, some encouragement, or whatever it might be. We don't notice it because we're too busy, right? We're too busy with kids' schedules, and we're too busy with what's going on in our own lives, and we're not seeing things because people are good actors, and you couple all that stuff in with quickly moving through your own life, and you miss a lot. So here's what it all boils down to. I think it boils down to one specific thing, and it's that we need to seize opportunities. See less problems and more opportunities. And here's the thing. If you're looking for problems, then guess what? You're going to find them. If you're looking for opportunities, then guess what? You're going to find them. Because it's a weird thing, right, that we usually see what we're looking for. I know a while back, my wife and I bought another minivan. I swore them off that I was never going to go back to a minivan, but here we are back in minivan life. And so we looked at a few minivans, and we decided that we were going to purchase a Toyota Sienna minivan. And one of the reasons was that we just didn't see a whole lot of those out there. But once we purchased a Toyota Sienna minivan, you see them literally everywhere, right? And here's the thing, like, nobody bought them the same day we bought ours. It's just that I really wasn't looking for Toyota minivans before we bought one, and now I'm just more observant to the fact that I see them everywhere. And so we tend to see what we're looking for, and if we see and look for opportunities, then that's what we're going to find. You see, Jesus looked for people who needed him, whether they knew it or not. I want to share one last story with you. I know I've probably gone on too long already, but I want to share one final story with you about Zacchaeus. And the story of Zacchaeus is one of my favorite stories. And I'm sure you know the story, right? That Jesus comes into the town where Zacchaeus lives, and everybody's pressing around Jesus, right? They want to see him. They want to be close. He's known as a man of works and a man of the Spirit and all these things. And so Zacchaeus, who's this tax collector who should be one who normally doesn't seek out righteous and religious activity in his life, he decides he wants to take a look at Jesus as well. But the problem is Zacchaeus is just a little guy, right? You guys know the story, and I'm not going to sing it to you. But, you know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And so he does. He climbs up in the sycamore tree, and here comes Jesus. And I want you just to get the picture in your mind that, you know, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people packed in and around Jesus. And here comes Zacchaeus up in the tree, and Jesus looks at him. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree, because today I'm going to your house for dinner. There were hundreds, maybe thousands of people there. But Jesus found the one who was ready to start a relationship with him. Because Jesus seized opportunities. So I wonder what would happen if we did the same. I wonder what would happen if we seized opportunities to see the one person in the crowd who needs a walk and some time with Jesus. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to be here today online and seizing this opportunity. God, I pray for those who are watching this morning that they can slow the pace of their lives just a little bit and look outside of themselves as well, and to realize that none of what's happening in our world has caught you by surprise. And the church has an opportunity like it has never had before to be salt and light to this world. And so, God, help us to think outside of ourselves and to look at the needs of others as we do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a minute to celebrate communion together. And so we're going to have a time of reflection. And so if you have your bread and your drink, you can go ahead and get those ready. And then we'll reflect on the Lord's Supper, and We'll be right back. If you have your bread and drink ready, I want to share one last opportunity with you that I hope you don't miss, and that's the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. You know, what we do every week as Christians is we gather together to worship and to pray and to celebrate what Jesus has done on our behalf. And in the story that we just talked about, the eunuch celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus by being baptized into it. And then what we do as Christians is we celebrate the body of Jesus by gathering with the body and then also taking his body and his blood, the bread and the juice, with one another. And so we're told to examine ourselves and to examine the body of Jesus. But not only do we examine this body of Jesus, we examine the body that we worship with each week as well. And so I invite you, as we pray before we partake, to do just that, to celebrate what Jesus has done on your behalf, and then to examine your own body and examine the body of believers that you are joined with here at Suburban or wherever you happen to be watching from. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for what Jesus has done on our behalf. God, I thank you for doing what only you can do, working out our salvation through a cruel Roman cross. And God, I'm so thankful that we have the chance to commemorate that by taking this bread and this drink. God, I pray that you help us to examine ourselves completely and thoroughly, and not only our relationship with the body of Jesus, but our relationship with brothers and sisters in the body as well. We know that's equally as important. And so, God, we thank you for our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take the bread together. And now the drink. One of the things that I forgot to mention earlier, just wanted to let you know that if something has been said that has stirred you today and you want to talk to somebody about what your next step would look like as a Christian, we'd love to have you reach out. You can drop a message on Facebook to the church, or you can contact John or Ernie, and they'd be glad to help you with a next step and whatever that might look like. So maybe, you know, if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, we'd love to have a conversation with you about that opportunity. If you're already a Jesus follower, but you need to become engaged in some capacity or another, we'd love to help you take that next step as well. So thanks, and God bless, and we'll see you next week.